那飞机里面没坐多少个人呀？
飞机里面啊，
嗯，
大飞机差不多快到400吨。
不是吧？
真的？
我不相信。那天上是不是有那个飞机的路啊？
天上有飞机的路，嗯，这个怎么说呢？那
In 2011, a Japanese filmmaker Takeuchi was creating a documentary on the Yangtze River, a river that played a major role in China's cultural history, economic development, and agriculture. While filming their documentary, they went to Shangri-La, Tibet. As they were searching for the perfect spot to film the Tibetan grassland, Takeuchi stumbled upon a young girl dressed in traditional Tibetan dress, holding a lamp and wearing a mask. Turns out that her name is Tsumu.And she was trying to support her family by charging tourists 5 yuan for a photo with her and her lamp. Most teenagers her age would be in school, but Tsumu had already been working this job for a year. Despite her effort, she struggled to approach people due to her shyness, and sometimes rude tourists would even take pictures without her permission. Takeuchi, moved by her situation, not only took a photo with her, but also paid double the usual rate to show his support. And little did she know that this simple photo shoot was about to change her life forever. In the following day, Takeuchi and his crew members were invited over to Tsumu's home. Greeted by her mother, who spoke little Chinese, they were nonetheless treated with great hospitality. During their visit, they learned more about Tsumu's daily life. On days she wasn't posing for photos, Tsumu helped with household chores, supporting her family in every way she could. Tsumu had started working right after finishing elementary school,and her only break came once a year during the Chinese National Day. And really, she was just the average Tibetan girl who lives a traditional life in the land of Shangri-La. After learning about Tsumu's life, with her permission, Takeuchi decided to expand his documentary to include her day-to-day experience, hoping to capture the essence of Tibetan culture. As they filmed, the director and Tsumu formed a bond, sharing stories and insights that brought them closer. During one of their conversations,Takeuchi asked Tsumu about her dream for the future, to which she admitted that she had never really thought about having dreams. Their talks would reveal the vast differences in their world. Tsumu would be astonished to learn that the crew had traveled from Shanghai to Shangri-La in just 4 hours by plane, a concept so foreign to her as she had never left her hometown or seen an airplane up close. Her naive question about their journey led Takeuchi to playfully ask if she would like to visit Shanghai someday.To everyone's surprise, she said yes. Tsumu's words were filled with pure curiosity and surprise as she learned about the existence of a completely different world out there. It was after this interaction that the director first had the thought of inviting her to Shanghai once they finished filming their documentary. Seeing it as a potential life-changing opportunity for Tsumu, he sought for her parents' approval. Despite the good intentions behind the proposal,Tsumu's uncle, whose words had a lot of power, strongly opposed the idea. The family's decision deeply saddened Tsumu, who felt the weight of her limited options as she was also to be married to some stranger she had never met under her father's arrangement. This basically marked a bittersweet end to their brief but impactful encounter, as her life will move on as a girl who holds onto a lamp that takes pictures with tourists. On the day of departure, the director decided to go see Tsumu one last time.She looked very sad, and there seemed to be so much that she wanted to tell them, but in the end, they didn't speak much and bid their farewell. You would think that's where the story ends, but a wise man once said, when the seed of curiosity had been planted, it needed nothing more than time and boredom to grow. Even after the crew had departed, the stories they shared about the world beyond her small town had sparked so much interest in Tsumu's thoughts, and maybe it was fate.She actually ended up convincing her family to let her travel to Shanghai, a decision that would soon transform her entire life. In the third episode of the documentary, the scene unexpectedly shifts to the airport, where Takeuchi appears to be waiting for someone. And then, the audience were shocked to see this. Tsumu arrives, not alone but with her entire family. Her face beams with joy as she steps outside her hometown for the first time. This marked the beginning of an eye-opening journey for her. She first learned the idea of a traveling vehicle underground called the metro, and being on one of them for the first time, she said to the camera, smiling, that it felt like they were flying through the tunnels. She would look outside of the window on the metro for a long time, even though it's just pitch black and there really wasn't much to be seen.She would then be astonished at her first sight of a skyscraper. Her reaction were of pure wonder. She could hardly believe humans were capable of building such towering structures. The crew took her to the top of one such skyscraper, and unlike many first-timers, she wasn't afraid of the height. Instead, she was captivated by the expansive view, excited about how much she could see from such a high place. In the evening, the crew introduced Simu to Shanghai's dazzling nightscape. Unlike the pitch darkness of her hometown, the city was filled with vibrant, colored lights that illuminated every corner, so bright that it felt like it was daytime. Simu would be so shocked that she couldn't even find words to describe her own feelings. 3 months after this trip, the filming crew received a letter from her. She writes of her gratitude, telling them that despite it being a short trip, it had been the most beautiful memories she's ever had. Going back from Shanghai, it was the first time she got the feeling that her city was quite small. Even though her city, Shangri-La, is a small place, she still wanted to stay there because it's her hometown. This trip also inspired her to find her own purpose, as she mentioned that she now has a dream of her own of starting a hotel business. Near the end of the letter, she said that if she was ever successful, she hoped to one day invite the crew back to her city. And this heartfelt letter marked Simu's final appearance in the entire documentary. So you might think the story ended here, but after watching this documentary, like many of you, I was left wondering about Simu's future. It's 2024 now, did anything happen afterwards? How was Simu's hotel business? And did the filming crew eventually go visit? And to my surprise, I actually found a reunion video with Simu on Takeuchi's YouTube channel. Turns out that 10 years later, Takeuchi and the original crew members returned to film a sequel titled Revisiting the Yangtze River. They would recreate many of their original shots, reflecting on the profound changes the places had. But the highlight of their journey was revisiting Simu. They went back to Shangri-La and was navigating only with their memory from 10 years ago, as they had no idea of her whereabouts. But fate was leading them closer and closer to the destination. Finally, they came across this girl and asked if she knew Simu. And to their surprise, she immediately recognized the name and said this. Hotel? This word struck Takeuchi that he had to take a few seconds to process. It turns out that this entire building was owned by Simu, and it's named Aurora Hotel. The Chinese name of the hotel actually had Simu's name right in the middle. The entire filming crew was shocked upon seeing the inside of the hotel and were happy to learn that she had actually made her dream come true. Although the visit was unannounced, Simu recognized the crew instantly and greeted them with excitement.
Simu!
It was clear she had matured, her demeanor was more confident, and everyone laughed at how much more talkative she had become. Her fluency in Chinese had notably improved, both in pronunciation and the way she spoke. Playfully, the director addressed her as boss instead of Simu, which brought a blush of embarrassment on her cheeks. Simu led the crew to the guest room, which were exquisitely designed, radiating both coziness and a unique aesthetic. The windows offered a breathtaking view of the Napa Sea, framing the serene landscape in a way that seemed almost surreal. Each piece of the furniture was custom-made, showcasing the meticulous craftsmanship. Walking through these spaces, it was hard to imagine that all these sophisticated designs and planning were done by the same person who was once just an ordinary girl charging less than a dollar to pose for tourist photos. As they left the room and headed downstairs, they encountered Simu's mother, who initially thought they were just regular guests and offered a polite handshake. However, upon recognizing them, her composure gave way to emotion and she burst into tears. Simu, standing by her side, explained that their trip to Shanghai had been the happiest and most eye-opening experiences of their lives. It was a memory cherished deeply that she could never forget and was always grateful for. They returned to the main room and began recalling their first encounter, sharing laughs and fond memories. However, their conversation was briefly interrupted by a phone call. On the other end were potential guests inquiring about room availability. Simu seamlessly switched to her professional role and handled everything with ease. The whole crew was watching in admiration, and once the call ended, they couldn't help but praise her for how well she managed her business responsibilities. It was clear how far she had come from the shy girl they had met 10 years ago. Later, it was revealed that much of the inspiration for her hotel came from the very room they had stayed during their visit to Shanghai, the trip that had a profound learning experience for Cimu. She absorbed countless modern design elements, which she skillfully incorporated into her own establishment, and it was this attention to detail set her hotel apart from others in her city. They also visited Cimu's uncle, who had once strongly opposed her trip to Shanghai. But upon seeing all the positive changes, he had changed his mind and said he would even be fine with them taking Cimu to other nations. In the evening, during a dinner gathering, a cameraman also confessed that he too had been against the Shanghai trip 10 years earlier. He was concerned that after going to one of China's most developed cities with such prosperity and temptations, it would dramatically change the way she sees this world and maybe she might find her hometown to be too boring and no longer want to stay there. But after telling her all this, to everyone's surprise, she was thinking of the complete opposite. She learned so many new things and felt the urge to also bring these ideas back to her hometown so people can have a more convenient life. In fact, she said that she was appreciating her hometown even more after going to Shanghai. Now she is a mother of two kids and just living their dream life. Nearing the end of the documentary, Cimu put on her traditional Tibetan dress, and they went back to the place where they first met. It was the same unremarkable spot, surrounded by the rough stone walls. It may not have much significance to others, but to them, it was filled with profound meaning. Sitting in the same spot as a decade ago, it felt as if time had stood still. Memories flooded back, so much had changed, yet so much remained the same. In this moment, they all realized that while their journey had taken them far, they were forever connected by threads of fate and a shared dream that has turned into a beautiful reality.